And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times, most of all.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Look, armpits talking about the new NHL team.
Well, he's buddies with Ryan Smith. You're talking Pat McAfee on ESPN.
Armpit McAfee, yep.
They are showing clips of the Delta Center makeover, which is obviously from a Frozen Fury clip in the past. But they are showing how that's going to be made over, and you can already see some of the issues with the Delta Center, which is they have to back up those stands all the way backed up flat, and then you can't use it, which is why they're going to have, 14,000 seats, Gary Bettman said yesterday in an interview.
Which is fine.
Oh, I mean, compared to 5,000?
Yeah, which is fine.
Hey, Ryan, can I give you one thing, though? Quit selling all those season tickets, dude. I want to go to the game.
He's been keeping a running tally, no?
He was over 11,000.
What are we up to?
Well, there's only 14,000 seats available. If you've got 11,000 deposits as of last night, which I'm sure has grown already, I know not everyone's going to deliver on that $100 deposit, but leave some for the rest of us.
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's great.
Look,
no,
the idea
it's
that it
great.
Wouldn't ever succeed here or that there's any chance that fans wouldn't back it is asinine.
But leave
some general admission.
I come back.
Let us buy tickets at the door.
I come back to the line from Major League: if I could get anybody to watch this team, none of this would be necessary. It is very important that the new franchise is supported. Just like it was very important that Real was supported at the beginning. I covered the first game, the first RSL game, Ben, and I kind of thought it was a pretty cool thing. In retrospect, I really think it's a cool thing that I was there at Rice-Eccles Stadium, of all places, that day. And I was thinking just this morning, Ben, I got to figure out a way to get my family to the first game. I got to figure out a way to get us there. It's a cool thing. Take some pictures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's probably going to cost me 20 grand to get there for the first game apparently, but I got to get my crew there.
That was my very first thought.
It's a history thing. You know what I mean?
I'm going to have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old at the time. It's like, yeah, I want them to be there.
Yeah.
I want them to be at the game, and it's going to be hard to do because everyone's going to want that. And if I want that, everyone's going to want it.
And RSL was really well supported off the bat. Now, they had to do some winning, and they had moved stadiums, and they had to put in the work, so to speak. But it was important that they were supported off the bat, and they were. Because this is when you've got your most juice, and it's really, you can take advantage of it or you don't, you know. I don't want to go down the road of failed franchises, but most expansion teams, Ben, are supported extraordinarily well for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And then the franchise has to go out and do something, but you got to capitalize on that bounce and keep it going. Best example, instead of negative examples, I'll go with the best example, the Golden Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they had a lot of juice coming out of the gate. And they've been well run, and they've won.
Well, we're going to talk to Elliot Friedman, who's, you know, in the, to make a comp, if you don't know him, the Woj Shams conversation for NHL Insiders.
He's a big deal.
We're going to talk to him coming up at 11 o'clock.
It's amazing. He was banging down our door to come on our show. I mean, it's really a compliment.
The epicenter.
He was, Ben, I don't know how he got your number, but all of a sudden he's like, oh, I know the show to come on.
I told him to call me back. I said, I'm on the phone with Gary Bettman. You're gonna have to call back,
Elliot. Online too. No, that's not how it happened. But he's a really big deal. So we're really we're excited to have him on.
And I want to ask him that: what has made successful expansion franchise work, and what has made them not work? Outside of you know, the Rangers are going to be fine. The Kings are going to be fine. The Maple Leafs are going to be fine. Like, if you're in a major metropolis, you're going to be fine. What happens otherwise with some of these teams?
I don't know about you, Ben. Maybe I'm getting swept up in it because I got a lot to learn. But I kind of feel like the debate between which would have been better, an expansion or saving the Utes. And they're bringing a pretty good young team. I know they don't have a defenseman on the team, which might be an issue. But, like, it seems like they've got some good players to bring into town. I don't know what – I'd be curious. Maybe we can ask Elliot this. Like, how – because in the NBA, if you're an expansion team, Ben, having been in Charlotte for the expansion, and if you can think about Miami and Vancouver and who else? Toronto. Am I missing anybody else in recent memory? Charlotte again?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get much.
No, it's a disaster.
You're not going to get much. You'll figure out a way to get a good player, and that's more likely trade because you come in with some assets and you move them around and you get a good player. But you also get, like, half your roster is going to be, you know, not NBA guys or borderline. What were borderline NBA guys? It's just how it works. I don't know if that's how it works in hockey because the Golden Knights won. They won like year one and then Stanley Cup finals year two? Or was it finals year one and then...
Made the finals year one.
And then got over the hump.
Took a step back and then...
Year three?
They won it last year, right?
Right. So that's pretty crazy. I mean, that's hitting the ground running.
We're going to have four household names coming, at least with the Coyotes.
Which seems like an advantage to me. But if you're allowed to draft, you know, if you're allowed to snatch all these good players from other teams and you can hit the ground running expansion-wise, I don't know.
No, you've skipped.
I don't know what to compare it to.
You've skipped 5 years, right?
So,
you've skipped 5 years of draft picks and trying to get these young kids in. Logan Cooley, Clayton Keller, Josh Doan, Dylan Gunther. Those are the four names everyone's going to know. Now, that's because they don't have any defensemen signed, as you mentioned, and you're going to know Connor Ingram, the goalie. Like, you're going to know the guys. But those are the four kids that are 25 and under that are the faces of the franchises, the face of the franchise. They're going to be good. They are good, and they're all young and coming up. I mean, this is...
There's another couple in Tucson, too, right? Like,
yes.
Another three draft picks in Tucson?
Yes.
Right?
And then they have another top 10 pick this year. Which, in all honesty, I need to learn this. How quickly will you see a top 10 draft pick? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? Is it 1 year? I don't know.
I've been trying to look. So Ben, this is a good place to start, I think. I've been trying to study up on I like the minutia, the mm-hmm. game behind the game. And I've been trying to kind of study up on that stuff, the differences, similarities to other leagues that I'm more familiar with. But from what I can tell, unless you're, and DJ and PK had a guest talking about this morning, unless you're like the LeBron of hockey, you're probably going to be, meaning like the obvious number one pick, generational player, already super skilled, grown mm-hmm. larger than your normal 18-year-old, like those sorts of things that you're looking at 2 to 4 years.
Okay.
For a first round pick. Which I think is really interesting because I actually think, and maybe I'll start off with this hot take, Ben. I think the way the NHL is set up is more to Utah's advantage than the NBA. I mean, hard cap alone.
Yes, yeah, like, absolutely.
Hard cap alone is a huge advantage for small markets. And from a financial standpoint, where it costs the Jazz way more to go in the luxury tax than it does the Lakers. Because the Jazz bottom line is way lower. I mean, that's way more expensive than the Knicks can go in the luxury tax all they want. It doesn't matter. They're still selling out that arena at how many thousands of dollars a ticket every single night? I mean, they've got this lucrative TV deal that is just unbelievable.
Yeah. What you get from sharing an arena with Madison Square Garden or Crypto Arena or was it the Chase Center where the Warriors play is totally different than the Delta Center. Just different. It just is.
And when you're drafted into the NHL, unlike the NBA, you're basically with that franchise till you're like 27. Your rights, so to speak. I mean, like, you're basically in one place to develop unless they trade you. So thus, player movement is not as much of a thing, not even close to as much of a thing in the NHL as it is the NBA. Not to mention the longest term contract you can sign in the NHL, Ben, 8 years.
Oh, it's a lifetime.
So, you know, you think you get somebody on their initial deal, you extend them in their mid-20s. I mean, they're staying with the same team until their, you know, early 30s at the earliest. So I think that really plays into the advantage of, like, investing in player development has been something that the Jazz have had to do a lot, particularly recently. And if they can copy some of those resources into a player development model in hockey, you're much more set up to develop and keep your players.
One of the interesting things along those lines is that the Roadrunners, who are the AHL affiliate, the step right below the NHL, is still owned by Morello, who used to own the Coyotes. That was not a part of the purchase. So he's keeping them in Arizona. In fact, would you believe it? He's trying to relocate them. It seems like this guy's deal is always like, I've got an ace up my sleeve. I'm going to move the team.
Dude, I'm telling you what, that's a super smart move. I actually wondered about that with Ryan. Minor league hockey or minor league anything is difficult to run.
Yeah.
If you can find a way to, you know, share some of that
responsibility,
that burden.
Yeah.
And I know Major League Baseball did a big shakeup to how they pay minor league players because, like, for example, and I don't even know the new deal, Ben, but like the Bees are owned by the Millers. The Bees aren't on the hook for all of their players' salaries, but they're on the hook for some.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly how that works, but if I didn't have to buy a minor league team, I don't think I would. Let that be Morello's problem. Unless he's like poisoning your prospects in the locker room or something. Like, I wouldn't worry about that.
I have to say, I just woke up feeling the gravity of this hockey team coming. It just feels like a huge deal. Because it is a huge deal.
Yeah.
But I woke up, and, you know, I've been here through MLS expansion, and I'm not putting that down at all. I loved having RSL here. I love going to the games. They're fun to watch on TV. I love having RSL here. It's just having this morning to wake up to, and knowing that the news broke yesterday in the middle of Hans and Scotty show, and just following it all day, the excitement I've seen on Twitter, knowing this morning that I'm getting up and excited to talk about it on the radio with you, it's so cool. It's just such a huge deal for our state. It's going to transform literally downtown when we pass this bill and decide to rebuild and revitalize everything we've got in this area, which it needs it, and I'm excited to see how it works.
What's up with the resurfacing of the Bluffdale thing?
There are some people who fear that the legislature, after all of this dirty work that they've gone through, and dirty work sounds like I'm putting it down. I'm not at all. They've done the legwork that for some reason they would balk and now pass on it, and Ryan Smith would be forced to raise this $900 million and would move it somewhere else if that was the case.
Is that just pearl clutching, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. I just saw it online, and who knows what's...
I mean, I guess anything's technically possible, but...
But it's not like some...
Well, so now... The mayor's going to not get reelected, and Governor Cox is not going to get reelected because they decide to balk and not get this law passed, and like everyone's going to be mad at them that the Jazz move out of Salt Lake City. Like, that's just not going to happen.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I just don't think that's going to happen.
That's why I ask.
You've released all these joint proposals of how excited you are to have this and how everyone's on board with it. I would be absolutely stunned if this didn't pass.
But it's not a thing like when the Bears bought the old racetrack in Arlington Heights. And that's a pretty credible threat to move. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nothing like that. This is just some folks.
Yeah. Poisoning the well.
Okay.
I would think. No, I mean.
Because I would think.
Gary Pettman has seen the plans. Like.
Yeah, and it went through the legislature and all that. Like,
Right. Those renderings Ryan released in February, like, that's not an accident.
No, he's been working on this for a while.
Yeah. This is all, like, I know that there are, and I don't know where it is in this process, and I'm not pretending that I'm behind the scenes of how the legislature works and how these things get passed and who knows what before it gets presented to them on the floor when they're voting on these things. But, like, sometimes we pretend these people are, or assume these people are flying by the seat of their pants. And it's like, while yes, this has moved absurdly quickly to bring a team in, this isn't by accident. Guys, nobody's making this up. You're opportunistic. But, like, Ryan's not just, like, he's not getting on ChatGPT and saying, design me a new arena downtown with this prompt and it spits out in 8 minutes and he tweets it out. Like, come on, let's give everybody a little bit of their due respect that some people are good at their jobs. And that includes people in the government. That includes team owners. That includes city planners. Like, this is a huge process that they are not just making up as they go.
I listened to this this podcast, and it had on the former mayor of Las Vegas. His name was Oscar Goldman. Ben, I think I've told you about it before because it was a really interesting podcast. But he was a defense lawyer for the mob and then turned politician and was a really popular mayor. So much so that his wife is still mayor today. But he told an anecdote about how he was courting Gary Bettman for Las Vegas in the, I wish I could remember exactly what year it was. But I think it was like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, and he said that they shut the door and stayed Vegas. No way, how. And he said, all right, but we got a lot to offer, so.
Keep us in mind.
Keep my number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, laid the groundwork for it. And this is Vegas where they had a lot to overcome. Laid the groundwork for it 20 years ago or whatever. Like, that's how these things happen. Now, I think Ryan Smith, you know, wasn't a billionaire 20 years ago. But I do think he's been laying the groundwork for this for quite... I mean, you can follow it paparazzi style, like pictures of him with Gary Bettman going back 2 years.
Well, I mean, to this point, when did you first start hearing about Ryan and potentially buying the Jazz? It was like 6 or 7 years before it happened. Like, it was in the ether for a long time.
Certainly his interest in buying an NBA team.
And the Five for the Fight patch. Like, all these things were just kind of around. None of it was accidental. And that doesn't mean that the Millers thought when he bought the Five for the Five patch initially that he was going to buy the team someday. But
no.
He knows how to work on these things.
Right.
He does know how to do these things.
Well, he tried to buy the Suns and the T-Wolves too, right? Or at least expressed interest.
There was interest,
I don't want to say try to buy. I don't know how far it was.
His wife, Ashley, who we probably have overlooked in her role in all of this, and I've heard nothing but very good things about her behind the scenes, has said that, like, yeah, I told him not to do it. Do you want to be in Utah? You believe in Utah sports. Don't go mess around with Phoenix. Don't go mess around with Minnesota. You like Utah. Be a Utah guy. And that's what he's done. He's committed to being the Utah guy.
Very committed,
I'd say. And he has done it better than anyone has ever done it as far as bringing sports to the state of Utah. With all due respect to the Millers, he's now doubled down bringing the second franchise.
Yeah, he has. I don't know. I don't think you can underemphasize what Larry did.
Not trying to at all.
The risk that he took personally.
Not trying to at all.
Make it happen. I think the NBA owes Larry Miller a debt of gratitude.
The whole state of Utah does.
But yeah. But that aside, I hear, yeah, it's a huge deal. That's why we talked yesterday about people that were like complaining about Ryan Smith. Like, I have no idea where that comes from. Has he been the perfect NBA owner in his short tenure, Ben? Probably not. But, you know, he's not Frank Beamer. There's only one perfect person on this planet. But he's been pretty good. I don't see any major... I said this yesterday. The fact that he hired Danny Ainge is incredible. I mean, that bozo in Phoenix said, you, go get me Durant. Ryan Smith said, hey, me, I'm going to go get the best GM in the dang game.
Oh, well, here's the thing.
James, you know what I mean?
James Jones might have been the best GM in the NBA. And what did Matt Ishbia do? Do you remember the name he brought in immediately to be his... What's your word you like?
Rasputin.
You're his Rasputin?
Isaiah Thomas.
You had the best guy in the game, actually.
Yeah.
You had James Jones, who had built this awesome team in Phoenix and made these great draft night trades and had all these draft picks and had all these good young players. And he said, quiet down, James. I've got a guy named Isaiah Thomas who I'm going to listen to.
Isaiah might be the ultimate example of the Rasputin. He's like had multiple owners' ears somehow, mm-hmm. and has been disastrous everywhere that he's been. And somehow these uberly rich people are just like, oh my gosh, Isaiah.
They're starstruck.
Tell me what to do.
They're starstruck because it's a bunch of,
it's
with
crazy.
All due respect, what is it, Gen X? Yeah, Gen X billionaires who thought the 88 Bad Boys Pistons were the coolest thing that's ever walked the earth. And so they handed everything over to Isaiah Thomas when they became of age and were billionaires. They just said, okay, well, Isaiah Thomas was cool to watch. I'm going to give him an opportunity.
Wasn't it first the Raptors? Isaiah, go help get the Raptors off the mat.
It was the CBA. He was the commissioner of the Canadian Basketball Association.
I thought that it was the Continental Basketball Association.
Okay, yeah.
And I think it was that came after Toronto, I think.
Regardless. Yeah.
Then bad in Toronto, sunk the CBA, bad in New York. And like any good Rasputin, it took forever to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Like he was there for like a dozen years before they could finally pry him out.
Allegedly harassing cheerleaders, right? Like nightmare.
Had to pay settlements and stuff. Yeah. And somehow Ishbia shows up and he's like,
I got the perfect guy.
He's my guy, Zeke.
I got the perfect guy.
I got an office right next to mine with his name on it.
I suggested go get Kevin Durant to James Jones, and he said, hold on, let me sleep on it. And by the next morning, Kevin Durant was coming because Isaiah Thomas had made the trade.
Zeke got it done. You know what I mean, though?
Absolutely.
And maybe this, I'll be really curious about this general manager from Phoenix. Because he's got a really good rep, right? And it seems like he's drafted well. I'll be curious. That is the first decision I would make. It's like, who's going to run this thing?
Bill Armstrong. That's my vote.
Right. I mean, and that's what I said. I mean, looking into it a little bit, it seems like he's pretty good. So,
I like Tarini, too. I like the coach.
You know?
The Bear. That's what his nickname is.
Who do you hang on to? Who do you not? Where do you make your changes? Where do you make your influence? Again, we brought this up yesterday too. Jim Olsen is still president of the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Barney, who's I think what's his title? CRO, I think, over there.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Chris Barney came up through the Miller org, and that dude is a rock star.
Yep.
Like Ryan was like, I got to keep these guys. They're doing a great job.
But then you got to go out and find the Caroline Kleins of the world, and
right,
you've got to go find the other people that are like, hey, I need a. Make a TV. I need to launch a TV network. How do I do that?
Yeah.
You go and you hire Caroline.
Our mutual friend, the social media. What's her official title now?
Senior Director of Content.
Yeah, she came up. She made a stop here on the radio station.
Yeah. Started KSL, actually.
Yeah, started KSL, right, and came up through the org. So, that'll be interesting to see how the franchise is incorporated. Yet another advantage to not having an expansion team and bringing in something existing is you get that luxury, actually.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to go find everything entirely new. You can see, all right, what am I looking at here?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
It's great.
It's great. It was a huge day yesterday. We knew it was coming, and it still has delivered probably beyond what I had hoped.
Top three stories coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I love this job. It's truly the best. Want to remind you about our friends at, we want to remind you about a big thing we like on the station. Nominate the youth sports volunteer for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every Thursday afternoon to Jeremiah and Alex, also known as JJ and Alex, for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week. Sponsored by Hercules Credit Union.
I wish I remember their names. I think one of them was Tracy. The southern one was a guy. I played junior jazz at the Kiwanis Club right there on 9th East
okay.
and 4th South.
Okay.
Two people I've remembered the rest of my life. I was one of 400 kids running around that gym that was on the second floor.
Yeah.
They were, if they weren't volunteers, they made $4 an hour. Changed my life. So shout out to those people. I'm sure you have your same Hercules Hero of the Week that you remember like, oh yeah, this is a volunteer who helped. And made kids' lives better. So shout out to those people.
Totally agree.
Yeah, shout out to those people.
I love that promotion.
So nominate them if you can.
Shout out to Hercules Credit Union. All right, Sarah, what is our first story today?
Number one, five NHL team names were were sent to the trademark office, and here's what Ryan Smith had to say about naming the team.
With everything that we've got going on, I mean, we know it's going to be Utah and Utah something, right? And we have a lot of really good names. I mean, the internet's full of them. Like, we're looking at what that can be, but we also don't want to rush into it. I mean, this is a one-way door where you get to do this once. I think with us in the league, like, we're going to run the full process, want to make this very community-based. We want to go through and really engage the community, the fan base, and go do this together. And so we get one shot at it. We're going to announce the second part of the name when that comes up.
That was Ryan Smith talking about the name. Now, the name's up for trademark, Ben. The Utah Blizzard, Utah Venom, Utah Fury, Utah HC, and Utah Hockey Club.
The Yeti has also been.
Also been.
It's not on that original list, but it is also out there.
It is also out
there. Been trademarked.
Any thoughts?
I've always liked the Yetis. I've always liked the Yetis. I think it makes a ton of sense. It matches what.
I think it'd have to be singular, though.
The Yeti? That's fine. That would be my front runner and still my favorite. And the only thing we have right now is a little bit of fatigue because it's kind of been the name for so long that people are just going to want to change the next thing. I actually like the Outlaws, which has been bouncing around. It's something we talked about in a group chat a while ago as well. Probably not the imagery that they're going to approve or go for. I like that name, even though that was not in this list of names that has been trademarked. I don't mind Utah Hockey Club. At all. I like the Washington football team. I like that you're one of a kind. You stand out. You're by yourself. There's nothing else like it. And it has a ton of versatility because you don't have to be married to an image of a Yeti or whatever. Utah Hockey Club can do whatever you want to do.
I'm with you on that. I've always kind of liked that idea. I did. I liked the Washington football team way more than the Commies.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think they're going to do that ultimately.
No, I don't think so.
And that's a sheer guess on my part. But I have always kind of liked the idea. But I'm a negative person. I could think of what I don't like about all these. The truth is, whatever they adapt, people are going to jump on board, and then they get used to it, and then it's a thing.
Yeah, and we'll
you know
rally.
What I mean? Yep. Right, exactly. So yeah, Blizzard. I don't know. You know, I think of the Dairy Queen treat.
Blizzard's one of probably my least favorite of that group.
Venom. I think of like a super villain.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't mind Fury.
Fury sounds to me like Vin Diesel's character in those car movies.
I don't mind Fury just because I like that it's four letters and the Jazz is four letters and that doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I like that more than that there's a double Z in Blizzard and there's a double Z with the Jazz.
I never thought that connection was relevant. The buzz.
Yeah.
It happened like once and everybody's like, oh, it's got to happen all the time.
It's got to happen all the time.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I don't think it has to.
I don't think it does. What about another form of music? The techno.
Okay. EDM. Utah EDM. I like that.
Has a ring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House music.
Music.
Just the music.
I mean, in-game, like, production would be obnoxious for some of us, but, like, yeah.
The choir.
What brand of music would you say is a jug band? Because I've always thought a jug band
like
was pretty rad.
A bunch of people blowing an old empty
like
liquor
the
bottle?
Jugs and the jugs and the washtub bass. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the clothes thing.
Yeah, an old hand strung banjo. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Playing an old what milk is that? Carton.
I mean, that'd be pretty sweet, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Nobody else has it.
Yeah, do it.
What about the Utah classical?
Sure.
Everybody could wear tuxedos at the game. That'd be pretty rad.
Not going to work, but you could make their uniforms.
But you see where I'm at
yeah,
here.
Yeah, make their uniforms look like they're going to perform in an orchestra.
But I think whatever they pick, people will hate it because some people hate everything.
Yeah, people are going to hate
it. People hate. I've said this a bunch. You could hand somebody, some people on this planet, you can hand them $100 and they'll look at you and they'll say, what, you can't give me $150?
Yeah.
It's That's like, wait, you're just I just handed you $100. You're complaining about it? People will complain about it. I'll probably complain about it. And then we'll all get on board and it'll be pretty cool.
But I do like that they are going nameless to start and not trying to rush something just so they can like have a hat at the draft in June just to like say like, well, we got these weird blue and yellow colors and whatever. And that's not a thing. I'm not saying blue and yellow is the color at all. I haven't heard anything. I'm just saying like, don't just force something to force something.
Oh, I thought they were going with black and highlighter yellow.
Maybe they will.
Yeah, maybe they will. Nameless. The Utah Nameless?
The Nameless.
Like the coolest bar name in town. Yeah, I guess it's in Park City. The No Name Saloon.
No Name Saloon. Yeah.
The Nameless.
I like it.
Like, yeah, I like it. Like some masked bandit?
Yeah, right. Anonymous. I like it.
See, now we're, God, people need to listen to this show.
Yeah, people need to listen more. We just, Ryan, call us up.
We just solve problems.
Got some ideas. All
right, next.
Number two, Ali Khalifa commits to Louisville.
This was surprising. I was sure he was not going to go to Mark Pope's rival.
Is he going to stick it to Pope?
What the heck?
He's like, I really didn't enjoy my experience. I'm going to your rival.
I was sure he was going to go to Kentucky.
So if he would have picked Ohio State, would Khalifa have showed up in Michigan?
Yeah, right. Something. No, you know what he did? He said, who's got the most zeros on this paycheck? I'm sure that's what he did. Yeah, who's going to pay me the most? Okay. He's not a pro.
Yeah, but Greg Osabor's not showing up on the Palouse, you know? He's not going to Washington State.
I don't think so. Sounds like he actually was interviewed with Kentucky, which is a funny thing that players are doing now. But great Osabor, speaking of which. But yeah, that was bizarre. That was a strange move. But Louisville has money. Did they replaced their coach, right? Yeah, because they fired the last bozo, who was a former Kentucky guy, actually. So yeah, who's going to put the biggest paycheck in front of me?
Is their big whale donor still Papa John?
Ooh, is he still floating around?
Well, I think he was pushed out of the pizza company, but I.
Well, maybe he can still.
But is he still
pull strings?
Is he still getting hammered and going to Louisville games?
Maybe it's possible. That was surprising to me. I had assumed he was like a done deal. He was gone to Kentucky.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. We'll see how BYU
finishes stick it
out
to
this
Pope.
Team and what Kevin Young can do, to build out this roster and then his coaching staff.
Now, if you have a Khalifa jersey, are you keeping it because you're rooting against Pope? Are BYU fans rooting against Pope at Kentucky, or are they rooting for him? I always thought that was an interesting question about Urban Meyer in Florida.
There have been things that have come out about Mark Pope, and it's not like anything specific, but just that, like, he ruffled a few more feathers than people realized.
Oh, give us deets, Ben.
You give us deets. But the fact was, his winning made him a lot more liked. And even a year ago, we were talking about how you could replace him. In fact, there was a conversation on this show about, do you move off of him just because you're starting the Big 12 and you want a clean start?
One of us may have said, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, that wasn't so crazy to say at the time that I thought you should be fired from your job. That was not a crazy hypothetical. It didn't work. And he ended up doing a great job, but because he did such a great job, I think it toned down a lot of the issues that were starting to pop up, that he wasn't friends with everybody. That's fine. Not every coach is.
This is breaking news from, I think, a pretty credible source.
Okay, let's hear it.
Our friend Wild Turkey Fart Blunt on Twitter sends to me the breaking news that I didn't. He says, Papa John is still getting hammered and running around Park City. What?
Well, if anyone would know, Wild Turkey Fart Blunt is probably
that's
the guy.
That's what I'm saying. Very credible. Very credible. Speaking of the No Name Saloon, it's 10:43. Is Papa John saddled up right now?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I've been there for brunch. It's not bad. Mimosas all around.
I've never seen
Papa
him.
John's in town. Woo! Number three.
Number three, the NBA playoffs begin tomorrow.
Who's your source? Wild Turkey Fart Blunt on Twitter. NBA playoffs start tomorrow, 11 a.m., Donovan Mitchell versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, versus the Orlando Magic.
He's on the Cavaliers.
Though some
Ben.
People may feel like it's Donovan Mitchell versus the Cleveland Cavaliers after this season. We will see what happens there.
Oh, hey.
People are saying that like the Cavs are going to run away with this thing.
Against Orlando?
Against Orlando. Like, that is kind of the assumption. A lot
I
of people are thinking
disagree.
It's going to be a five-game series. Maybe. But like, man, Orlando is elite defensively. Like, they are going to throw everything at Donovan Mitchell, who's already hurt and beat up. And the rest of the guys on the Cavaliers have not turned into the stars they need them to be. This is going to be a great series.
Oh, I think the Magic are going to win. Not only is Orlando really good defensively, but, like, they're good defensively in a way that is really bad for Cleveland. They're not good defensively, like, because Rudy is standing in
the
middle,
for
example.
Yeah, because you have a rim protector. Exactly
no,
right.
No, they're good defensively in they've got big, long, athletic dudes that are going to make you work for every single square inch, which makes for long nights. And we saw what happened with Donovan Mitchell against the Rockets those years. And Ben, why am I blanking on his name?
Is it Trevor Ariza?
Trevor Ariza. Yeah. I was going to say, just a role guy.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, Trevor, go take Donovan out of the series. And he's like, all right.
Jalen Suggs is first team all defense this year. He and Alex Caruso are the two best guard defenders in the NBA. And Jalen Suggs is going to be glued to Donovan Mitchell for 20 minutes. And look, Donovan Mitchell is so good. You're not going to stop Donovan. You're going to hope to contain him, as they say. But they're going to throw Jonathan Isaac on him, which put Trevor Ariza on steroids for 15 minutes, 18 minutes a night. I mean, Jonathan Isaac, when he's on the floor, is the best defender in the NBA. I'm not kidding. You probably haven't watched him because no one watches Orlando Magic basketball.
But he's really good.
Watch him in the morning at 11 a.m. Jonathan Isaac, as long as he's healthy, he gets hurt every 15 minutes, is going to wreak havoc on this Cleveland Cavaliers team. So that's a great game. Second game of the day, 1:30, Suns at Timberwolves. I love that series. 76ers, Knicks, which is awesome. Lakers-Nuggets, ironically, is going to be the worst game of the weekend.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I think the Nuggets should smoke them.
And then Sunday, the only game that's for sure is Pacers-Bucks. That's at 5 p.m. on TNT. Still trying to figure out the Mavericks and the Clippers are at 1:30 on ABC. That's a great series also. Still trying to figure out who the Celtics and the Thunder are going to play. That will be decided tonight in the play-in tournament.
Man, honestly, the first round for the Celtics is going to be super easy, regardless of who wins, right?
Yep.
No Jimmy Butler with Miami. I don't think they're going to put up much resistance.
Nope, they got a perfect deal.
But
that's the advantage of being the number one seed. That's what you hope for.
Yeah, and if you're OKC, who are you cheering for?
Probably the Pelicans without Zion, because his hamstring's going to keep him out for a while.
For at least 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Kings are dangerous.
Yeah, but they're banged up too.
Yeah, no, they're not great. Yeah, they're not going to win, but I guess I don't want to deal with De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. So give me the Pelicans who have never done it. Brandon Ingram's just coming back from injury, and they're not going to have Zion, so we'll dismiss them quickly. That's what I would root for.
Update. Wild Turkey Fart Blunt's back in, Ben.
WTFB?
He said, speaking of Papa John.
Can you do a number four? Top four stories at KSLSports.com. Number four is the Papa John update brought to you by Wild Turkey Fart Blunt.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Number four.
Update.
The Papa John's update brought to you by Wild Turkey Fart Blunt.
Okay.
Did I get that right?
Yeah. We're going to need to put a new category on the digital side to get these articles out.
Oh. He adds, he's still recovering from last night, meaning he's not at brunch. He's still
out.
Still shaking it off. And it said, house in the colony, I believe. So.
I'm not going to dox Papa John.
That's not doxing Papa John.
This is all on the WTFB, by the way, on Twitter. This is not us. This is him.
And this is Utah, Ben. This is like an open carry state. I'd like to see you get into the colony. Not making it far. Not if Papa John has anything to say about it. Right now, digging some Alka-Seltzer and having a cup of coffee. All right. What was that, Sarah? I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, we want to remind the good folks about the Saturday show going down this week. They're going to broadcast live from the Uinta Golf Demo Days from 10 to noon at Mulligan's, 106 South, 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get free lunch and enter to win free gear from the great people at Uinta Golf. Stay tuned, more next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Any way you want it, just the way you need it, any way you want it.
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything.
This song makes me think of Rodney Dangerfield, for obvious reasons. 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. Also, Win Ticket Wednesday, your chance to win big every week. Next week, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Aerosmith at Delta Center on November 24th. Listen to the station all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Elliot Friedman is hockey insider for Sportsnet, and the NHL Network is going to join us coming up next, so stay tuned for that. We're hoping to check in with Sam Farnsworth at 11:30. I'm really hesitant to ask this question because I love that movie so much. Do you know, Sarah, what movie I'm referring to?
Of course she does not.
No?
No, I don't.
No? Rodney Dangerfield, you know who that is? I don't get no respect. Yeah, you don't know Rodney Dangerfield?
Sarah, what year were you born? Sorry.
99.
He died in 04. So like, yeah, she has no reason to know who Rodney Dangerfield is.
Except for these great movies. I know who Greta Garbo is.
He's never been in a great movie, and you've never seen a Greta Garbo movie.
Probably not. But that's from Caddyshack, Sarah, which is a fine movie. If you're looking for something to watch one night and get a few laughs, that's a good one.
Sounds good. I'll put it on my list.
Your dad has seen it.
Probably.
I will say that your dad has seen it.
Bet you $1 million your dad has seen it. Anyways. Cinderella story. What a great movie.
Yeah. Hey, press conference tonight.
Maybe that's a win. What you got Wednesday?
Rodney Dangerfield movies?
Okay, anyway.
Well, whoever drafts Little Nicky loses, and that's going to be like the second pick.
Move on. Anyway.
No party tonight. I had mentioned that it sounded like maybe they were trying to brew something up. Not happening. So don't plan on that. I'm not saying you can't go to the arena and hang out outside and see what's going on around the world. I suspect we will see people excited to be around. I mean,
the hot dog bacon people will be there, I bet.
Someone built a shrine for Gordon Hayward when he blew up his ankle in Boston after he left the Jazz. But 5 p.m. tonight, press conference with Ryan Smith, Gary Bettman. We'll see who all shows up. But Ashley Smith, we will see.
Rodney Dangerfield, maybe.
Just Weekend of Bernie's him up there. I get no respect. Even when I'm dead. So we will see who shows up tonight. But
I get Papa John.
Every weekend's a weekend at Bernie's with the.
If Papa John asked to come, do you think they'd say no?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I do too. No, thanks, Papa. Buy some tickets. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we're very excited about this. We're going to get the latest from Elliot Friedman. We're going to talk about the big day.
Hockey Insider for
the
Sportsnet.
Yep, it'll be great. Stay tuned. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.